covered a lot. It's always the schuss. First of all, the schuss to always be together, to learn together, to grow together, to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh together. And then, first of all, before anything else, we have to understand the schuss we have to have Torah. You know, this world again, this week again, reminded us of how confused the world is that we live in. For lack of even better words, how messed up the world, and even now, over this past year, seeing time and time again, and again reminded yesterday, how messed up the country we live in is. And so, impossible to see people. And find the craziness is that there are no words to witness, to see with their own eyes what was going on yesterday. Unheard of. Unheard of. If somebody would have told you that this would be going on, you know, a few days ago, you'd say impossible, crazy. And then to hear, if you waste your time listening to the people speaking about it and taking it into places of complete sheker, back to the sheker of the politics that we went through before the summer, as if it's connected to that. And like, Shem Yirachim. I'm not even going to talk about it all. We all know it was terrible what was going on yesterday. But all I want to say is what is chesed is to have Torah. Do you understand? Because the rest of the world, they have subjective reality. See, the rest of the world, they get to decide what's right and wrong based on whatever they decide is right and wrong. Whatever they want right and wrong to be. So in all honesty, there's no one that has actually a correct opinion in anything in this world because it's all whatever they believe. And that's why you can never argue with anyone because you're no more right than anybody else ultimately. Because morality and ethics and a way of the world is all just subjective reality. And I'm not saying what's right and wrong right now on any level what I'm about to say, but the protesters who did what they did, they believe wholeheartedly what they did was 100% right, and they had every right to do what they were doing and be completely lawless and all everything that went on. They believe that 100%. And the people... There are people that believe 100% there was tons of racism that went on yesterday. I mean, craziness that you hear. But that's what they believe 100%. In the same way that, you know, Lahavdil, you know, those who persecuted others throughout our generations, they believed in what they were doing. Hitler and the Nazis believed in what they were doing. I don't mean that Chas v'Shalom to equate the two. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, ultimately, when you don't have an objective reality and all of life is subjective realities, who's to say ever what's right and wrong? You know, look at the country we live in, the levels of morals and ethics, it's deplorable. What the world that we live in today is a different world in America than was 50 years ago. You know, 50 years ago when they had TV already, there was a time when it was not allowed on TV to have a pregnant woman. I was not allowed to have a pregnant woman on TV. You know why I was not allowed to have a pregnant woman on TV? Because a pregnant woman means she had to somehow become pregnant. And maybe somebody would think about that. So it's immoral. It's immoral. Come on. It's immoral to have that on television. Show that publicly to the world. And now, not that I would ever watch, but I don't think there isn't any show on TV that wouldn't be considered in our eyes as pornography. Because otherwise, why would anyone watch it, Hashem Yirachim? And that's the world we live in, that you can't drive down certain places and because you it would be impossible to drive in certain places because if you looked up, you'd be seeing things that are completely usher to see, so to drive with your head down is probably not too safe, so you can't drive there, right? And the morality in America is different than the morality in other cultures, and it's all just subjective reality. We have the greatest chus in the world. We have the greatest privilege in the world to have our ethics, our morals, our vantage point, our vision and understanding of the world to be based on the objective truth, because it's the will of and understanding of God. Because we base our morals and our ethics and our understanding on something called Torah. And Torah is the guidelines of the world. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah are. Torah is actually the blueprints of the world. Torah is the wisdom of Hashem, and it's the objective truth. Whether we always understand it or not, great, I'm finite. What do I know? You know what I know? I know this is emes. And anything that's not this is not emes. And my Rebbe, Reb Lachman Shitzi, likes to always explain and categorize in the following way. There's something called Tova Vera. Tova Ra is what's good and bad. And there's something called emes v'sheker, what's true and right and false. Tova Ra is subjective reality. So when I'm in my sukkah, and a bee comes into the sukkah, and it's bothering my daughter, and I go and I kill the bee, to me, that was tov, that was very good. But to the bee's mother, that was very, very bad. Right? So it's all based on your perception and your vantage point, whether that same act to some would be good, to some would be bad, because it's all subjective. It's all perception. Emes v'sheker, what's true or false, is objective reality. That's the world of God. That's the world. Sometimes we understand what is emes as tov. Sometimes we see it as ra, because of our lack of an ability to fully grasp. So we see a tragedy and we think it's ra, but it's emes. It's baruch dayan. Emes. We may not be ready to say Baruch Tov Meitiv yet. But it's Baruch Dayan Emes. And that's how we have to judge the world and understand the world. And we therefore, through the lens of Torah, we have sanity. Through the lens of Torah, we understand what's right and wrong. Through the lens of Torah, we can appreciate and know. So I was like, it was personally, you know this, it was a joke to me when in like religious from worlds, they were talking about having to talk about racism months ago. Like, of course racism is something that's not part of anything that we are. If anybody is here as a racist, it means you haven't even started to appreciate Torah. If you're somebody who appreciates Torah, appreciates, you have, so you understand what is right and wrong. You don't need the outside world to tell me that. We have clarity in this world, and we know what's right and wrong. We see it, and we sense it, and we know it based on that lens of Torah. And that lens of Torah gives us our moral compass and gives us our ability to balance the world and gives us our sanity back also. We can feel good and calm. And that Torah is what also helps us remind us it's the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam and gives us back those who are lacking it at times, our emunah, our bitachon, and knowing that it's all good. And even if, by the way, we might have our own feelings and perceptions about what's going on in the country as far as leadership, but you know what? When you have God on your side, like, it's all good. Because we understand strongly, Lev Malachim Biyad Hashem, and even if we have to put in our shtadlis, and we might have voted for other people, but we're not getting so crazy and concerned. It's all going to be good. Because you think Joe Biden controls Joe Biden, Kamala Harris controls Kamala Harris, it's all the Abishter, and it's all going to be good. Again, we put in our shtadlis, and we tried what we thought would be, and whatever that was, and now that it's over, Shkayach, throw up my arms, Ribon Shel Olam runs the Welt, it's all good. And I'm cool. And it's all okay. And I'm besimcha. And we need that emuna. We need that bitachon. And we need that sanity. And what a schus it is just to get together to learn Torah on a week, a day after a world of bilbulim. We have no bilbulim in our lives. We have Torah. We have Eibishter. It's all good. Don't ever forget that. It's enough to get together to remind us of. That's number one. But we entered into a very special week this week. Once we put that to the side and let's delve into Torah and MS, we entered into a very special week. A very Halig week. We started the period of Shoivavim. Shuvabanim Shoivavim, the days of the weeks of Shemos, Ve'erabo, B'Shalach, Yisra, Mishpatim. The days that Klal Yisrael, and we're going to relearn and relive that period of time that we go through Golus and we fall to the lowest of low, to Mem Tesh Shaar Tumah, but we know there's going to be Gula, there's going to be Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's going to be ultimately Kabbalah Torah, and we get to the highest of levels. And therefore, we as well, we emulate that Torah. And we take this period of time as a very important time of growth, a time of tshuva, a time of lifting ourselves also up out of those lower places that we find ourselves in at times. And the Heiligei Tzaddikim have told us throughout generations, from the Arizal and on. This is a very important time to talk about and be metaking Pegam HaBris, to work on our Kedusha, to work on our Shmir Sinayim, to work on these areas. We have to relearn some of what we're going to talk about tonight. We might have spoken about before, but we remember the opening words of the Mesil Shasharim, Moshe Chaim Lozado, of the most important Svarim to ever learn. And sometimes the most obvious things in our lives we have to review, we have to relearn, we have to chazer. So it's embedded on our heart, embedded on our soul, embedded in my eyes. Again, Tav Shin Pei Aleph. And that's why usually I never put like a title or what we're going to learn about this on at Shir, because to me, it should be irrelevant. Meaning we're learning Torah. It's all, we're learning Kol Olam Kulo. We're learning the whole world every Thursday night. Like, who knows? Wherever it goes, it goes. Well, what, one would only come to Shir if we're learning about Tefillah, and not if we're learning about Midos. Like, it's all one Torah, it's all one life. Those are all interconnected, right? Derech Eretz is Gematria Tefillah. It's all one. Think about that, Dennis. But anyways. But tonight I did write on the, when I sent out about Shir, the Shoivim Shir Tov Shin Pei Aleph. And that's not to say we won't speak about Shoivim more throughout the next 6 weeks. We always have to have, at least at the beginning, one very important Shir about these Inyanim. Because there's nobody in this Dor that grew up in this Dor that doesn't need constant chizik in these areas. Even those of us that have come a long way and are no longer falling in the ways that we used to fall, perhaps. To be mechazek ourselves in these areas, to be metaking ourselves in these areas. So first of all, the Ebishter brought me matana. If you take the gematria of Tav Shin Pei Aleph, Tav Shin Pei Aleph is 781. Obviously it's 5781, but we say it is Tav Shin Pei Aleph, 781. 781 is gematria Hazman L'Kedusha V'Tahira with the Kailos. The time for Kedusha and Torah. This is the time. The time for the Kedusha and Torah. Hazman L'Kedusha V'Tahira with the three Kailos is exactly gematria Tav Shin Pei Aleph. So now's the time. You know, Rav Shor has been saying it for years already. We just have to listen. That when we're metakin our inayim, it's a chazana, einenu b'shuv chaltiyam brachim. Never forget how he said it to my son Shmuel. Shmuel was like 8 years old. Like literally, I'm not just saying. Shmuel was like 8 years old. I remember it was a Simchas Beis Shoeva, and you were right with me? He's wearing a little kid's bekisha, 8 years old. And I take him Simchas Beis Shoeva to Rav Shor. And I take him over at the end. I mean, we've gone since then every single year, obviously. But I take him over the end to get a bracha. And Rav Shor looks at my son, who's 8 years old, Shmuel. He says, "You have to make sure that you keep your eyes clean. You have to make sure that you only look at what you're supposed to look at. And the schusta, you look at what you're supposed to look at, you'll be zoich with those same eyes to greet Mashiach." That's what he said to Shmuel. 8 years old. But you have to be mechazik at that time so it doesn't end up. That's Emma, sadly in our door. This is what's going on. And I believe strongly, no question, it's the biggest challenge of our door, the biggest yetzahara of our door, the biggest taiva of our door, the accessibility. What's been because of this machine? We live in a generation. We're gonna say it real tonight. Whatever, if we end up putting this on my Torah, we'll see. If not, we're gonna have to talk. But what do we live in a dar that many people for their bar mitzvah, their parents say mazel tov on your bar mitzvah, take a pornography machine for your pocket. MS. That's what we live. We live in such a door. Mazel tov, you become a man, take a pornography machine in your pocket. And by the way, it's hard. You can't, I'm not blaming many of these parents. They didn't grow up in this door. They don't even understand the full challenges and what it is to have some accessibility, because they didn't have it, I didn't have it. But I believe as well, just as I believe it's the biggest challenge of our generation, I think Rav Shor is, who am I to Rav Shor? Rav Shor said it already, Rav Shor doesn't need my haskama on any level, but I'm a tipa bayam of the biggest ocean to Rav Shor. Halavai should be that tipa. But I really strongly believe, you know, you can think about it. Why are we going to be, little us in the five towns who walk around with our patches on our coats and Lemaisa, you know, we're going to be the ones that greet Mashiach? Really? If Rabbi Akiva Eger couldn't greet Mashiach, and the Ramchal couldn't greet Mashiach, and the Baal Shem Tov couldn't greet Mashiach, and we're going to be the ones that greet Mashiach, like, why would it be? Why us? The only answer could be that I understand, really, MS. They didn't have this Nisayon that we have. They didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have the accessibility in your homes, in your offices, in 24/7 in your pocket, to have to battle that taiva 24/7. Nobody had that before our generation. Nobody had the Eitzahara in their pocket 24/7. And if we could do that and be batzliach, And we can. We can, and we have to believe we can. And first and foremost, we can, and the people have done it. And people have beat it completely, and not turn back, and not fall in even every 6 months or every 8 months, like, over. There are people who have done it. And we can, and if we could do that, Vada, yes, we deserve to be the ones to greet Mashiach. To greet Mashiach. And we're those Baalei Tshuva. And we could do it, and we have to believe it. But I'll tell you something, Chavra. I think we need the chizik, and I don't mean we, the people in this room right now, but the world needs this chizik, maybe also more than any year in all of history. You know, obviously, yes, every year with technology, it's more and more accessible and conducive in all different ways, and there's nowhere you could go that you can't find the worst of Averis 24/7. But what was one of the casualties of this pandemic that the world has gone through and is going through? And let's not deny, some in this room are living lives as if it doesn't exist. But ultimately, it does exist, and there are many homes where it's still very serious in the way that they treat this, and sadly, there are also many people that are in hospitals still. It's real. We can't deny it as much as we'd like to move on in ways, and it's important for our mental health to find our ways to move on, but at the same time, it's still here. Sadly. But it brought us to very bad places in this area more than ever. And let me explain in three ways. And what I mean by that is when a person is quarantined in a home 24/7 and has so little outlet and so little ability to be with others, and the world pushes you that the only way to interact with people and even Torah is through technology. So it becomes very, very difficult not to fall, especially those who have fallen before, and you're going right back into the lion's den. But specifically, I'll say as follows. Let me explain, because it's in my eyes three of the biggest, worst issues there is with lacking of Shemir Sinaim. You know, people realize this year more than ever how important marriage is. Because let me explain to you something, what I mean by that, how important marriage is, and how chashuv marriage is, and how special marriage is, and how much of a challenge at times marriage is. You see, first of all, those that were alone this year are not married yet, and were stuck in quarantine for months at a time, March, April, May. It was very difficult. It was a very strong yearning for someone by your side and not to have that loneliness. But additionally, those that are married, they were with their spouses 24/7 for a very long time, and some still are. Many are working from home still. Now, by the way, that type of relationship, to be honest, is not really healthy, even in the best of marriages. There needs to be, and it's important you so, there needs to be in a marriage, of course, love and compatibility and closeness and connection, but also the understanding of each person needing their own time and needing their own life and needing to understand that balance between your oneness with each other and your separate lives as far as work, as far as learning, as far as davening, as far as... There has to be that balance. We're forced not to have that balance, and that was dangerous in a lot of marriages. But you also learned how precious marriage is and how important marriage is, because even if you're stuck alone, you're never alone. You have that person by your side. You have your wife by your side. You have your husband by your side. And you have to cherish that relationship. And that relationship could get you through anything in life. But I always tell, now think about this. So if that's so important, that reminds us what Pagama Bris could do to a person also. Because Pagama Bris destroys marriages. When a 16, 17, 18 year old teenager is looking at pornography night in and night out, and sometimes sadly addicted to it, and spending hours a night or whatever it might be, you know what that person is doing right there right now? You know what that person is doing right there right now? Destroying their future marriage. Right there. Destroying their marriage. Because, and I said 16, 17, but same, 20, 21, 22, whatever age you are, just fill in the blank. And of course, if you are married, sadly, and there are couples and people that struggle in that. Destroying your marriage. Destroying your marriage because one is building expectations which are impossible to live up to. Watching imagery of disgustingness, of the lowest of low, of people involved in activities that are so despicable, lower than animals. But the human nature of a man is excited by that. But then that will build an expectation and a desire that that's what I'm going to want from my wife. And I want my wife to live that out with me. But I give you a bracha that your wife should not be, chas v'shalom, God forbid, I don't want to say it, a person, even anything connected on the, anything towards these lower than animals that one is looking to on the screen. And any bas Torah, bas midos, bas anua would never act in such a way, in the worst of ways. So God forbid that your wife should be that type of person. Of course, in marriage, intimacy is something very important, very, very much a part of a relationship. But in a special, holy way, in an emotional way, in a loving way. Not in this physical, disgusting, animalistic way that you're creating this imagery in your mind by watching this and building expectations that will never be lived up to, which is destructive one day in one's marriage. And God forbid, creating addictions to this, where individuals who are addicted and need this high and this excitement nightly or every other night, or whatever it might be. So when one's wife, what happens when one's wife is not so excited, doesn't want to be with you as often because she's a normal woman, and then there's time of nida and there are 12 days you can't be together, I'm still running back to pornography to fill in the nights when I need my high because you've taught yourself that. And you don't think that there are people that are very quote-unquote frum in every other way that are doing this? Do you know how many groups of SA are in this community? Do you know how many groups of SA are some chavrim don't even know what I'm talking about, SA. Sex addiction. In our community of frum people there are. And some of those involved in much worse activity, but much of it stemming from, in our generation, from pornography. Because pornography eventually, when you have accessibility to other things, leads to other things as well, because you desensitize your mind to not even recognize that this type of behavior is wrong because you've been watching it for so many years and think that it's okay to be involved in whatever you're watching on the screen, which is the most despicable of acts. So you're destroying your marriage. Anytime a person falls and watches that, it's destroying their marriage, whether you're married or you're not married. Right now. Think about that. Forget about this. Forget about Yiddishkeit. Forget about it's Osir, it's against the Torah. Forget about all that. You're destroying your marriage. You're destroying your physical life in your marriage, your intimacy in your marriage. Destructive. Right here, right now. And we learned this year more than ever how chashuv that is, how important that is. How much we all need that more than anything else in the world. That relationship, that oneness with one's wife, that emotional support. You know, we all have our issues in life, and a lot of us have issues with various family members that sometimes are difficult to navigate. But you know what makes it all okay? When you have a solid, good marriage, you could deal with anything. Everything else is secondary. Everything else. But you want to make sure and to uproot and destroy that? Watch pornography. That's all you have to do. Shem Yirachim. You know what else we learned during this year? How important it is, the need to be productive. People have been depressed. People have been sad. People have been down and out, time and time again, day in and day out. You know why? One of the biggest reasons? Because of a lack of productivity. When I'm stuck quarantined in my home, I don't even know what I can do to be productive. Some people, Baruch Hashem, connect to learning, can do it. Some people can't do it that many hours a day and need a job and need to be able to be involved in other activities to feel productive and thereby feel good about themselves and have happiness. Because a productive individual is living a meaningful life and is a happy individual. A lack of productivity causes sadness. You know what Pagama Bris brings? A lack of productivity. Any person who's involved in that afterwards feels tremendous guilt, feels down and out, feels terrible. Part of that guilt is deep down you know it's against the Torah, you know it's bad. Part of that guilt is you just wasted so much time, you did nothing. We feel like garbage when we're doing nothing with our time. It's the most unproductive of activities one can do. You feel like garbage. I'm wasting away my life. What good am I? You feel like the worst of worst. Because what am I in this earth? I was blessed to be born into a family and brought into this world and been part of Klal Yisrael. And my parents spent $250,000 sending me to yeshivas over the years. And I have so much here. And what am I doing? Wasting away my life looking at this imagery of nothing? You feel the least productive person in the world. And it creates as well. It creates feelings of laziness because that's the down after the high. Right? Eitan Yitzchak can tell you all the science and the medical of the oxycodone that's released in the Chves Neshtoke if you want. You can hear it from him. But what I'll tell you is as follows. Bottom line is, all of that high that's created leaves the down. Anyone who knows anything about highs understands that. And that down is laziness, is a lack of productivity. You know what that is? Sadness. Sadness. You know what else we learned this year? I'll tell you something else we learned this year. We learned how easy it is. Thank you so much. We learned how easy it is to not feel connected to Ruchnius. We learned how easy it is to feel disconnected. And we learned how much we need the base medrash, and need the chevra, and need the relationships with Rabbeim in person. And we learned that Zoom and technology doesn't do any of that for us. We learned that none of it, because it's not a relationship. Olam de shikra, it's a screen. And we need to be in shul davening with a tzibur that's on fire, that loves davening, that's singing together. Again, of course, for a little bit of time, we appreciate it. It's important, too, the importance of this bodhisattva and being alone as well. You need that balance. You need that as well. But not 6 months, not 8 months, not 9 months. It has to be the right balance. We understood, therefore, how easy it is to lose that. And we understood how sad that was for us. That we want to feel on fire. We want to be on fire. We want to be together. We want to be singing together, learning together, building off each other. What else takes that away? Mamish warps us of any semblance of ruchnius in our life. Any semblance of feeling of passion in our Yiddishkeit. Pegama bris. This is a direct correlation. When a person is giving in to their taivas in such a way, when a person's looking at pornography, involved in masturbation, when a person's involved in these areas, so it's an instantaneous pleasure. It's immediate. And it's a very high pleasure. Again, the chemicals that are released by the brain create this very exciting, unbelievable pleasure. But you know one of the casualties of that? It's much harder to feel ruchniistic pleasures. It's much harder to feel God and Torah and tefillah. When I do it, it's bland. It's not the same. It has an effect on my whole day, an effect on everything else. You know why? Because those which are much sweeter, are much more special. Hamesukumi devash, v'noifes sufim, hanechamadimizov. But, because they're so much deeper and higher, you have to earn them. You have to put in time. You have to put in effort. You have to put in... And therefore, I got used to these momentary pleasures that are so quick and so high. I don't appreciate those anymore. And I slowly don't feel connected in the same way. And we all know. And be honest and be real. It's real. And when a person's fooling in Pegama Bris, and you go into that rut night and night, and you start to even, you might still show up and show up to Minyan, and show up to, and go through the motions mechanically of davening, learning. Are you feeling it then? Not at all. Not at all. And we learned this year again how much we need this. So if a person could ever bring themselves to be over on these things, we're destroying ourselves. Destroying our marriages, destroying our ability to be productive, destroying our ability to be spiritual, to feel passion, to lead a meaningful life. For what? For what? For a momentary pleasure. For the guf. We have to decide, and we can, that we're above it. We have to decide that we're above it. No more struggle. I'm not going to struggle anymore. You know, this is our whole life. It's been a struggle, and we get the chizik, and we hear the shmooze, and I do this and that. And no. I'm above it. It's no longer a struggle. I was telling some of the chaver before. This passed by Chabura. This passed on the night by Rav Matel Shlita, by Rav Matel Zilbis, Tzina Rebbe Shlita. So he gave Chabura, and Chabura usually. Chabura is Kodesh Kedoshim, first of all. Everybody should come just one time. Just to hear and see and understand what there's an eight, that there could be a human being in this world like this. Your emunah will be taken from here to through the roof. Like no question. Just to hear a shir from a Matl one time like this. Not the ones he gives in this neighborhood. They're nice. They're beautiful. I mean, he could do everything. I mean, his machshav is beautiful, so when he gives an Eish or gives an Aguda, I'm talking come to this Chabur one time, where it's an hour and a half straight of the deepest Ramazim and most incredible Chachma Elokis Ruach HaKoy that you've ever heard in your life, off the cuff with not a note in front of him. It's literally watching magic. There's no other word. No? He's Romain, no? I'm addicted. I can't not. I mean, sometimes I have a chasna. Outside of that, I can't not go anymore. Because it's just Torah Mesinai. Where else are you going to get that? In such a way, it's. If you know someone who's struggling in the moon a little, just tell them to come with me to Chabur one time. One time. One time. So at the end of Chabur this week, end of Chabur this week, so I, right before Ramatul, the end, he tells a few stories usually. So, but usually he always like pauses for a few seconds, thinking about which stories to tell. So I piped in. I said, "Rebbe, could Rebbe tell us, you know, a little bit about Shoivim? Something about Shoivim?" So he said, He looked at me, he's looking in my eyes with that stare. It's like, you know, he stares at him, it's just the scariest thing in the world. Like, you know, he's the sweetest, you know, Ramatul, you see him by the Simcha Vejev, he's on fire with his eyes to the back of his head and like fire and smoke coming out of his strimal. And you think like, but he, when you talk to him and you learn from him, he's like the sweetest person in the world. And he says, I'll tell you something about my Rebbe and the way, my Hadracha. You know, Shoivim, people have taken Shoivim, and this is all, again, there's different Drachim, I'm saying there's only Ashkafa what he said, but taking a Shoivim and in Yoni Kedusha and Yoni Tshuva overall, he says it's really one thing only, Tikkun HaBris. Tikkun HaBris. He says, MS is by my Rebbe and by us, like, so Shoivim is not a big deal, because, like, basically, Tikkun HaBris, like, that's not even, like, in, on my Bechira level, like he basically was saying. Like, that's not Tikkun HaBris. Like, what are you even talking about? We're above it. Like, we're above it. And you know what? You know what? If he said that to us, he was saying we're all could be above it. It can't be a strife. The struggle, struggle in, struggle off. We've got to be above it. It's not even part of my... You know, like, nobody in this room would ever, ever, ever eat a cheeseburger. Even if someone like gave you $10,000, someone offered you $10,000 and had it there, you wouldn't do it. You couldn't even if you said it, I would want to do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. You couldn't, it's a, because you're Nekudas Bechira, you're so above it that if, it's like no chance. No chance. I would never be able to bring myself to do it. I can't. It's like out of the, to go, I'll give you, honestly, everybody in the room, I'm telling you, every room, if was offered $100,000 to get in a car and drive for Shabbos. I don't mean in for a choyle or something in smutter. Obviously, in a second, we do that without the money. But if someone came to you and said, I'll give you $100,000 to drive to shul on Shabbos, nobody here would do it. Not even think twice. It wouldn't even be a choyle. Imagine, it's an amazing thing to think about, right? Nobody here would even think about driving on Shabbos for $100,000. Nobody here would think about it. Nobody here would think about it for $500,000. I don't want to say a million. I don't want to say. I don't know. I don't know everybody here as well as I think I do. But okay. But for, I really believe, I really strongly believe for $100,000, for $500,000, nobody would get in a car. It's because we're so above it. It's not even like, no chance. Eat a piece of pork for $100,000, no chance. Not even think about it. It's not like that. Not like a cheshbon. Like that. So that's what this has to be for us. And it can be. It's not even a struggle anymore. And I understand there's a certain taiva when you've broken over that line and it's so accessible and so there and so in your face. First of all, so don't make it in your face. Put the proper gedarim up. And there are people where it's not in our faces 24/7. And you could have a phone, and you could have an iPhone, and put all the gedarim where you'll never even have that nisayon on your phone. I'm not saying it will never be once a month somewhere, but for the most part, if you care enough, and you have to care enough to want to, but I don't know how you wouldn't want to if you actually just want to be have a healthy marriage, and you actually just want to be a productive individual, and you actually want to feel something in your life emotional and enjoyable outside of staring at a screen. So just, first of all, just set yourself up for success. I had a rabbi call me tonight, the rabbi of a shul, of a community, and was going to give a shir and show of him. And he wanted to ask me how I what to talk about and what he should be talking about. Which itself, maybe this still go up on my Torah, so not, but Shemira, you understand. That. This rabbi happens to be amazing, and he's wonderful, and he gets it. A lot of people, a lot of places, they know it. That there are shuls that nobody even talks about this. And yeshivas where people don't talk about this. Are they living in 2020? Are they 20, what are we up to, 2021? Do they understand that there's the... What are we going to talk about? We'll give the drasha about the Capitol building. I mean, give the drasha about Shemir Sinayim. That's what people need. They need to build themselves. We need to be above it, and we could be above it. And we have to believe in ourselves. And this rabbi called me, he's asking me lots of questions, just like how to talk about it, what to say. He asked me, what do I think? How many of his of the tzibur maybe has filters on their phone, doesn't have filters on their phone? And but sadly, most probably don't have filters on their phone. But how, if you actually care about this, how can you not have a filter on your phone? How can you not have a filter on your phone? How can you not take off the ability? That's the first step, if you really care. Set yourself up for success. And decide, I'm going to be above it. I'm not full. I'm not struggling anymore. I'm above it. Nothing. There's nothing. It's a cheeseburger to me. It's Shabbos Kodesh to me. Because it's just as important. I'm not even talking about from a mitzvah avera standpoint. Forget about the famous lines of no ability to do tshuva on this, because we all understand there is ability to tshuva on it. It just means regular tshuva. I'm not going to even get into any of that. I'm not talking from a Torah standpoint. I'm talking from a life standpoint. If this wasn't something that's asur d'oraisa and of the worst of errors, I'd be giving the same exact shmuz so far. I could give the same shmuz ichvesnes in some community center to the hamoinam. Because it all applies to them the same way. So even just for that, how could I ever do this? But us in this room, we have to take this to another level as well. Because Emes is, we come together Thursday night to learn Torah. So let's learn some Torah now. This is all Torah. Everything that was said, every drop was Torah. It's all Torah. But we care about Torah as well, so there's also something called Yerushalayim. And besides that, we should be above it for all the reasons I spoke about, we have to have a little Yerushalayim in our life. V'atah Yisrael mal Hashem l'kach l'sholom yoch kim liyira ayin shom arachayim ha-kadosh parashas Ekev. The only thing Hashem wants from us is Yerushalayim. Hakol b'day Shemayim chutz mi-Yerushalayim. Someone has Yerushalayim would fall in this area. Obviously, it's a big pekam in Yerushalayim. Let's talk from a ruchnius place as well. Obviously, it's a big pekam in Yerushalayim. You would ever do that if you believed the Ribbono Shel'Olam's with you, watching you? I'll prove it not. You ever did that with your father by your side? You ever did that with your father by your side? Biggest push in the world. So you do it with the Eibishter by your side? Guess what? He's by your side. But we're lacking Yerushalayim. Shoivim is Gematra 360, is Gematra Shas. So it's a big Zman. The Sadiqim all say, more obviously, we know there are Hanhagos to fast Thursdays, fast Monday and Thursdays. It's very important. If you can, and it's not going to take away from your learning, it's definitely very important. I'll just show you in a way we could understand. There's no greater builder of self-control than fasting. When you fast, you teach yourself self-control. You build self-control. Of course you want to eat, but I'm going to have self-control and I'm not going to eat. So that carries over into other areas as well. But more important than fasting, all the Tzaddikim say during the time, is learning Torah. And we'll explain why tonight. So let's learn Torah. This is Parsha Shemos. Talk about the Parsha a little bit. Moshe Rabbeinu is born. And we all know the famous story. He's born 3 months early. And he's put into the water, in the Teva. And who comes and finds him? Who comes and finds him? Basya Bas Paro. And the Pasuk says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav, Vatiftach, she opens the teva, Vatirehu, and she sees Esayela, the child, Vineinar Bocha, the child's crying, Vatachmo, love, she had mercy on him, Vatoymer, and she said, Miyaldi Ivrimze, this is a Jewish child. So comes Rashi, a very strange Rashi, on the word Vatirehu. First he says something that Pasha Pshat, which it doesn't even seem he think, it doesn't seem like he would need to say. As mi rasa hayela del pshuto. Who did you see? The child. Shkoyach, but I could also bet Yireyu Asayela. It's a strange even start to Rashi. And then he gets even, then he gets like Mamish Pelaployim. Umidrasho. And you know the Medrash is Vatireyu? Sure, you know, Chaver knows, your Mavir Sedriya. Shira Asa Imo Shechina. She saw the Shechina. First of all, Basya Basparo, this Egyptian princess, was Zoycha to see the Shechina. Number one. Number two, where's Rashi get that from? Just the Tirah Pasha Pshat. It seems good. What? I mean, he says it's a Medrash, but where's the Medrash based upon? So I saw from Rav Shor so beautifully. There's a Gemara, Shabbos Kuf Dalet, we mentioned it the other week. It goes through the Aleph Beis. And it says, Hey Vav, Hey Vav, Veshmo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yud Kei, Vav Kei, Hey and Vav are letters from Shemo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hey Vav are parts of the name of Hashem. So Pasha, just you should know, it should have said Vatiftach Vitira as Hayelad. What's Vitire Hu? The extra Vav, so it ends Hey Vav. Vatira Hey Vav. She saw Hey Vav, meaning she saw Hakadosh Baruch Hu. She saw Hashem. Atira Hevav, she saw Hashem. So that's how you see it textually in the Pasuk. But we have to understand what this means. How was she Zoyche to see Hashem? How was she Zoyche to see Hashem? How was Basya B'Farah Zoyche to see Hashem? Because I want to see Hashem. I want to see Hashem always. So Heiliger Adamsk of Tver Shlomo in these words, he says, that the Ramban explains in a letter to his son. You want to see if someone's learning Torah Lishma? You want to see if someone's learning Torah properly? If you want to see if you're learning Lishma, see if that person has Yiras Shemayim. If the Torah Mevila, the Yiras Shemayim, that was Torah Lishma. If it wasn't, if there's no Yiras Shemayim in that Yid, he sits and learns hours, but he doesn't have Yiras Shemayim. Sits and learns hours, but he's still looking at pornography. He sits and learns hours, and he's still involved in taivas and averas and whatever else might be. It doesn't have Yir Shemayim. Torah is not Lishma. What does that mean? What does Torah Lishma mean? There's a lot of different understandings. But I'll tell you what I think he means very pashut. We don't have to work about the Igle Tal. We don't have to work about Lishma of the Tanya and the Vizachayim or all the different Lishmas that are discussed. Very pashut. It's when you learn Torah, I'm connecting to Hashem. It's when you learn Torah, you're seeing Hashem. When you learn Torah, you're not doing it out of rote, you're not doing it mechanically, you're not doing it because I know I have an obligation to learn Torah every day, v'gita b'yom laila. I'm not doing it so I have more knowledge. I'm not doing it for intellectual pursuit. I'm not doing it even l'ilmod amnath la'asos, which is beautiful. I'm doing it to connect to Hashem. I'm doing it to be one with Hashem. I'm doing it, should I say, to see Hashem. That's Torah Lishma. And if you learn Torah and you start to see Hashem, that's going to build your Shemayim. Why so? What causes Yira? You know what causes Yira? Yira'eh. It's the same Shoresh. To see and to fear is the same word. Because when I see something, I fear. Imagine I'm standing in this room and I'm davening, and there's a poisonous rattlesnake behind me. But I never saw it. So I never saw it, I'm not afraid. Because I didn't see it. But the second I see it, I'm going to be very afraid. My sight, my vision, creates my ear, my awe. If I see Hashem, and there's really one way to really see Hashem, it's through Limud HaTorah, then I'll have Yira. And that's Torah Lishma, that's what the Ramban was saying. That's what it is. We say it all the time, this Tanya, but it happens to be right now is the Yahrzeit of Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Heilige Tanya, as we speak, Chav Dal Teves, Chusso Yagin Eleinu. You cannot read the Torah of the Tzaddik on his Yahrzeit. The Torah is in the Shaman in this world. Tzaddikim Afil Misazan Chai in their Torah. And we quote this probably every other week, but we have to read it. We've read it inside a bunch of times over the years, but we have to read it inside again in Perek Dalet of Tanya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'atzmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He Himself, His essence, less machshava tzvisa beklal. Nobody in their right mind will be able to understand and connect and sense and feel and know and be toifes, the Eibishter. Kim kasher tfiza umislabeshes betor mitzvosel. Unless the Ribbono Shel Olam Himself is clothed in the Torah and mitzvos. Meaning Hashem Himself is clothed in Torah and mitzvos. He Himself is too big, this is Ein Sof. But when He's mitzamfin Himself into Torah, through my connection to Torah, I could see Hashem. That's what the Tanya is saying. And that's what it means, the rise of a Kodesh Baruch Hu Chadhi. V'afsha Torah nislabeshes b'dvarim tachtoinim gashmim. Even though the Torah itself is physical, the letters, the words, the paper, the writing, still Hashem is in the middle of it. Hashem is in the depth of it. It's His wisdom, it's His character trait. So therefore, harizek mechabek es hamelech. Such beautiful words. Ah. When I learn Torah, it's like I'm hugging Hashem. Shein hefrish b'maylis es karvuso b'dveikus b'melech. Because there's no difference in closeness to the king. Bein mechabko kishu levush, levush echad, bein shu levush kama levushim. Me'achar sheguf hamelech b'soicham. When you hug somebody, you don't call it a real hug if they're wearing clothing. You don't call it a real hug. Oh, because they're wearing a shirt, I didn't hug him. Because he's wearing a jacket, I didn't hug him. I hugged him because he's inside those clothing. So too, when I learn Torah, which he's clothed inside, I'm hugging Hashem. So, wow. Of the most beautiful pieces of Torah you could ever read in your life. If you understand the depth in that. That's how I have to learn Torah. That's what we said, I think it was last week. Einu doyma mea pamela mea ve'echad. Mea ve'echad, meaning the echad, with Hashem echad, as the Baal Shem says. I learned Torah to connect Hashem. I learned Torah to be one with Hashem. I see Hashem. That builds yira. That builds awe. That builds the proper awe to not fall into all these terrible places that people fall. You know, after every Shemone Esrei, Shemone Esrei as well, besides Retire, it's Tefillah. Shemone Esrei, I'm davening and I feel like I'm one with Hashem. I'm talking to Hashem. I'm in a relationship with Hashem. What do we say at the end of Shemone Esrei? Listen to this. I'm incredible. The end of Shemone Esrei, we say Yiratzim. We all know it. Yiratzim Mefanech Hashem. Okay, okay, I've seen you. She'abana ve'samigdash b'mehera b'meinu. V'sein chakena b'sar esecha. You should build a b'samigdash. And we should have chelek v'sham navadcha b'yira. And there we will serve you with awe. How do we always think till tonight? V'sham na'avad chabiyira is talking about. What's v'sham? What's v'sham na'avad chabiyira? Then we'll serve you. There we'll serve you. Where's there? Where's there? Pesa Migdash, right? Then it should have been. Shibana Pesa Migdash Meinu v'sham na'avad chabiyira v'sein chalkeinu b'zor secha. It doesn't say it that way. It says Shibana Pesa Migdash Meinu v'sein chalkeinu b'zor secha v'sham na'avad chabiyira. You know what we're saying? There's two things that bring us Yira. I mean, it's one thing. It's seeing God. So Beis HaMikdash was Nisim Gluyim, and you saw God, so it built V'sham Nevecha B'Yira. But until we have a Beis HaMikdash, we're saying Chakeinu B'Sor Secha, V'Sham in the Torah, Nevecha B'Yira as well. That's where as well we'll see God. V'Sham in that Torah. You know what the Tzvar Shlomo says? V'Tiftach V'Tereyu. V'Tereyu means there was a certain fear and awe. The Basya Basparo had Yira. Where'd she get Yira from? How'd she have Yira? It must be, and that's what Rashi's teaching. Because why? She ra'asa Ashchina. She saw the Shechina. So that brought Yira. How would Basya Basparo have Yira Shemayim? Vetera. She saw the Shechina. So me and you and all of us, Chevra, we want to have Yira Shemayim that can protect us. We have to see Hashem in our lives. And you want to see Hashem? One day we'll have Beis HaMikdash and all be able to see Hashem. But until that time, we have Torah. And we delve into Torah, but in such a way, every time I learn Torah, don't just open a sefer. Every time we open a sefer, think, I'm about to see Hashem. I'm about to hug Hashem. And I don't care if you're in Chayashiv or in Yeshiva Gdola or you're in Lakewood, you're in the Mir, you're wherever it might be. The same way, you say the same words. Doesn't matter what the yeshiva pushes as far as chassidus, and as far as hashkafa, and as far as... There's one hashkafa, I love Hashem. There's one hashkafa, I want to be one with Hashem. There's one hashkafa that if I'm steiging over 8 hours a day being in a merubah, it's to get close to Hashem. And if that's not the hashkafa of yeshiva, get out of there. Leave. Leave! The sheker yeshiva! If the yeshiva doesn't understand that, and the rebbeim don't understand that, and the yeshiva doesn't understand that, that's not yeshiva for you. It's not the yeshiva for you. I don't mean they have to talk about it 24-7, although they should. But if they don't understand that and don't think that that's the MS and that's what it's all about, leave. Because that's the goal. That's what it's all about. No matter what gets you there, some people need to learn Mashaliba Chavitzbah, how you get there exactly, but all of Torah for that. And that Re'iya will create Yira. That's seeing Hashem and will create the awe of Hashem to protect us from all these inyanim. That's what we need more than anything. You know what else will come from it? You know what else will come from it? It's interesting. Because I know sometimes I think people who only sin and learn all day, and then they're not connected to others, not giving. What happens right after? So she saw the Shekhinah, she saw Hashem, v'tachma love. Then she had mercy on him. If sure, he says, the mitrim were known for the midas achzarius. The mitrim were such bad, horrible people. They had no love for each other, no care for each other, no mercy, no empathy, no sympathy. Yidin are by shanim rachmanim goyim lechasadim. That's our whole essence. How did Basi Basparo v'atachmol? Because she saw the Shekhinah. And immediately what that brings to a person is Yerushalayim, but it also brings love for others and giving to others and understanding to emulate that Shekhinah that you saw. Hashem mahu rachma fatarach. You become the most giving person, the most caring person. That's what you become as well. How could you not? That's what the Eibishter is. He created the whole world. Read Derech Hashem. The whole world just to give. The whole world just to give. So I see Hashem. Don't I want to give? You know what a lacking of Shemir Sinayim is for us? You know what Pagama Pris is? The most selfish person in the world. You're never involved in a more selfish activity than looking at pornography. It's all about you. It's all about your high. It's a complete antithesis of a tachmola because the lacking of that Yerushalayim, the lacking of Riyah, the lacking of emulating God, all I care about is myself. So you don't think that's also going to destroy your marriage and destroy yourself as a parent and destroy yourself as a friend and destroy yourself as a son and destroy your whole life? Because it's the antithesis of everything we believe in and want. Shaivivim, shaivivim. Chaver, I just read a story. There's a German Yid. And this German Yid, he traveled to go there at Pinchas Karitzer for a bracha. This individual was telling this story. Listen, the German Yid went to go to Pinchas Karitzer for a bracha because he had a daughter that out of nowhere went blind. And the doctors couldn't understand why. And mamish, so what do? You have to go to bracha tzaddik. So his father comes to Pinchas Karitzer. Pinchas Karitzer looks at the father and says, your daughter's blind because her father's blind and it's hereditary. This man says to Pinchas Karitzer, with all due respect, I've never even worn glasses in my life. What do you mean I'm blind? He says, a chayte, a sinner, someone, it's as if they're blind. They don't see emes. And when people look at the face of a Rasha, it causes them to go blind. So you better fix yourself before your whole family goes blind. Scary words from Pinchas Karitzer. Very scary words. This Yid was telling the story, said that he himself had a child. Said a child who had serious ailments and with his legs and feet and had to go and be put in braces and crutches, was going from doctor to doctor, couldn't understand it, went to the top expert and looked at him and said, I have no understanding why this has happened. And the Yid said he heard this story and he looked into himself and he worked on his Shmir Sanayim. And he said it was very hard. He had a job driving a taxi in New York City and you see a lot. And he had to work on his Shmir Sanayim on the highest of levels. And when he started working Shmir Sanayim, within 1 week, his child was completely cured. 1 week. When he said this story, it was 6 months later, he said he's never had an issue again. I don't mean to tell the story over and say Chas v'Shalom that I don't do scare tactics here. Like, oh, if you don't have Shmir Sanayim, Chas v'Shalom, something could happen, someone else. That's not why I'm telling the story. Even though one can take that from the story. But that's not why I'm telling the story. Imagine if a lacking of Shmir Sanayim brings such casualties. Imagine what tzchusim, what tzchar, and what incredible bracha and shefa is going to be in our family with our children when we're metakein Shmir Sanayim, when I'm strong in that. When I decide that's something that would never be in my home, that I decide I'm not going to allow internet in my home, and I'm not going to allow that my children should ever fall into these things, I'm not going to bring these things into my home, because I understand that it's the worst thing in the world, and it's the downfall of our generation. Or if I do because I need it for business or for whatever else, it's on one computer with a lock, that the only person who could put it on is my wife when other people are up. Their way, and with the proper filter and proper everything, meaning to do it bigdarim in the proper way, whatever needs be, in circumstances when need be. Imagine the schusim that are going to come from that. But you know what? You don't need any of the schusim. Because if you do it, you're going to have a happy marriage. Trust me, there's nothing more special in the world. And you do it, you're going to be a productive individual. And you do it, you're going to feel the beauty and the sweetness of Torah mitzvahs. That's so much sweeter and so much more special. And if you do it as well, in the schus of this year, Mamish, tonight, about an hour ago, the Rebbeinu Shlom brought me a matana. I sat down, I said, you know, we gave a shmuz, but we didn't give him a... So I thought, what was the matana? So I just thought, what's shmiras ha'inayim? So Mamish came to me, I'm not... It's just a matana, straight from Hashem... This was about 30 seconds. Shmiras Hayinayim is Gematria 1,135. Exactly Gematria. Simcha Vishlemas. What will come when you have Shmiras Hayinayim? What will come when you have Shmiras Hayinayim? So you want to say, I can't even think about marriage yet because I'm not married, even though some in the room are married. But you want to say, I can't even think about marriage. And you want to say even, I think I am a little productive. You want to say that you feel, please, nobody's besimcha, and no one feels shalim when they're involved in these activities. Shmiras ha'inayim is exactly gematria, simcha, v'shleimus, 1,135. Ben Hashem, we should all be zaycha, to be strong. And we should believe we can be strong. And we have to believe we can be above it. And believe that those of us who needed the chizik tonight, and this just wasn't just a chizik for others, that never again, not struggle, I'm above it. I'm above it, and I could be above it. I could be above it. Chayfes Yisreinu, exactly. Oh, this year we gave it. Svasem is a couple of months ago. But Chayfes Yisreinu to be above it, and we'll zoyche all of us the big simcha and bracha. V'zachzan enenu b'shavchziyam brachamim b'karav b'yameinu.